So you get a job, and some of them will offer you $100,000 in a signing bonus, which is a lot of money. Oh my God, that would be so cool. So you take the $100,000, you put it towards your loan. So now you only owe $400,000. Seems like a great deal. They're offering you $10,000 a month. But unless you read the contract, which most young dentists don't, the $10,000 a month is a loan until you start producing. So, and you have to pay the $100,000 back if you leave before the end of the year or 2 years.
Welcome to the Authentic Dentist Podcast. Join Dr. Allison House of House Dental in Scottsdale and Sean Zayas, founder of Zana, a company helping dentists extend their care beyond the chair as they lead dentists deeper along the journey of authenticity to reach greater fulfillment in their professional lives and to deliver remarkable patient experiences.
Podcast, and today we are talking about the future of dentistry, specifically the challenges that are facing the next generation of dentists. Dr. Allison House, why are your children not dentists?
So people ask me all the time about going to dental school, and I tell them, if it's your dream, if this is what you've always wanted in your life, then go. If the answer is anything else than that, do not do this, which is hard because I actually do love my profession, but neither one of my children are dentists, and I told them, don't do this. And the reason is because at our school here in Arizona, it's $125,000 a year in tuition only. That's somebody else feeding you, somebody else clothing you, paying for your car, your rent. That is just your tuition and fees. $125,000. So when you graduate, again, somebody is taking care of you the whole time. You're going to be $500,000 in debt. That's a big debt. And can you just imagine financing that? You have, 20 years to finance it? It's usually at 8% interest, and interest has been accruing since the second you took it out. So it's probably more than $500,000. So what is that? $4,000 a month for the next 20 years from 6 months after you graduate. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money in student debt. I don't know. I'm worried about that level of debt on how young dentists are going to function, especially if they get a job making $120,000 a year. Just looking at the numbers again, let's just make it 100 because it's easier math. So you have $48,000 in student debt you have to pay. You have to pay your taxes, which is $33,000 total. And then how much do you have left if you make $100,000? That leaves you $18,000 a year to live on. Can you see that might be a problem?
So that's assuming they graduate.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's pretty likely if you got into dental school, you're going to graduate. It's brutal. I mean, dental school is brutal, but you're probably going to graduate.
So you're going to graduate, and then now you have this incredible debt that you know you have to carry. What are the opportunities that are before a young dentist after they graduate?
So that's some of the challenges too. A lot of them go into a residency for a year. Sometimes the interest is deferred, sometimes it's not. Sometimes you're still paying interest even though you're not paying on the loan, so it's growing for a year. If you don't do a residency and you go to work, you can work hopefully for a DSO that's kind, but there's quite a few of them that are pretty brutal. And so your work opportunity isn't great. So you get a job, and some of them will offer you $100,000 in a signing bonus, which is a lot of money. Oh my God, that would be so cool. So you take the $100,000, you put it towards your loan. So now you only owe $400,000. Seems like a great deal. They're offering you $10,000 a month. But unless you read the contract, which most young dentists don't, the $10,000 a month is a loan until you start producing. So, and you have to pay the $100,000 back if you leave before the end of the year or 2 years. So you're stuck there. Sometimes at the end, you owe them $130,000. So it's not as great as you think it is. There's a lot of challenges.
So how are you hearing about these stories? Meaning, is it because of what you've done at the ADA level or what you've done locally that you're hearing from young dentists?
I think part of it is our podcast. I think part of it is my work at the ADA and at the state level. But young dentists call me. I get at least a call a week. And they're in trouble. And they tell me things like, okay, so I was receiving $10,000 a month. I didn't know it was a loan. I'm 6 months in. The practice is so slow. And so every day that I go in, I'm losing money. And so I want to quit, but I can't quit because I've signed a contract for a year and I owe $100,000. What am I going to do? I'm not a lawyer. I mean, I can't get you out of that. But yeah, at the end, you're going to have to pay them. That's the truth. And that sucks.
I mean, when you decide to become a dentist, you have all these sacrifices, all these challenges you have to overcome anyway. Dental school is incredibly difficult. And I think the assumption is that there's going to be payoff for that investment, for that sacrifice, for that risk. And now all of a sudden you're finding yourself in a situation where you're going further into debt. That's massively discouraging.
It absolutely is discouraging. And I hear it all the time. There's a lot of other really bad stories about working for other offices where there's not being paid hardly anything, or they're getting paid off of insurance fees. So they're doing exams all day for $50 and they get paid 25% of the $50 every hour. That's just not going to even make minimum wage. So it's bad. I think that eventually every dentist finds their footing. And so 5 years out, they've kind of found some place to work that makes money. It's either the Indian Health Services. Some of them join the military. You can't really start your own practice or buy a practice without some money. Banks aren't going to lend you $1 million when you already owe $500,000 in school debt. So it takes a little while to build that up, but eventually people do find their footing. But those first 5 years are often a nightmare for our young dentists. And that's awful.
So once they find their footing, the dream would then be to possibly be an associate somewhere or even try to open up, start with their own private practice? Or is that a little too ambitious 5 years out of school?
I don't think that's ambitious 5 years out if you've been really smart with your money. But I also think that, everybody's different. Owning a practice is another set of headaches and another steep learning curve. I've made a lot of expensive mistakes. That first couple of years was awful owning my own practice. So not every dentist wants to own their own practice, and I get that. Some of them would like to just be an associate, but you have to find a position that works for you and that you're not taking a draw or a loan every month and that you're able to produce enough to pay your bills. And that takes a little while to find a place that will pay you appropriately and that you can do the kind of work you want to do.
Like, do you feel that most students don't know as they're about to graduate that you're probably going to have to work for some corporate expression of dentistry starting out? It's just what you need to do. Are there any that you've heard about that have better either structures in place or contracts in place that are, I don't know, maybe set up the dentist for success earlier on?
Yes, yes. There are some of them that got the scholarship, the military scholarship. So the military is paying their tuition and giving them a stipend, and they owe 4 years after dental school. So it's a 4-year commitment for them to pay for dental school. But then they actually get to go work in an environment where they're not losing money. They're not paid as much as other dentists, but they don't have $500,000 in debt either. And they really get to learn under some mentorship, which is nice. So the military is a wonderful option. There's only so many scholarships, though. That's not everybody. The Indian Health Services also has a similar scholarship. And then I think the Public Health Services have a similar scholarship. Well, they're paid for your school or part of it, and then you owe them time afterwards. But again, if you do those two routes, you aren't necessarily going to learn how to place implants or do the high-end procedures. So you're going to have to go and do that on your own. So it's just not what everybody dreams it's going to be. I think we watched all those television shows as children about how being a doctor would be. It's not like that.
Now, how is that different from when you graduated dental school? Like, is it the same? Because, I mean, I don't think DSOs were really...
They were.
Not as proliferated, though, right?
I worked for 7 practices when I first graduated. Some of them were owned by people who were not dentists, and they were terrible. Like one of them, I asked them to sterilize the handpiece and they said they sterilized it once a week. You're supposed to sterilize it after every single patient. This was so upsetting to me. So there's a lot of things that are not so good about those. I think that it's improved some since then. They are at least following like OSHA rules. But no, this has been going on forever. The difference is that Gen X is such a small generation. There were so many jobs. I could have 7 jobs in 2 years because I quit one and I had a job the next day. That's not true anymore. There aren't as many jobs. There's more dentists and there's fewer positions.
So as these young dentists are reaching out to you, like practically aside from, you know, you could have read the contract maybe with a lawyer, like what advice would you give someone right after they graduate before they get into their first job? Like what should they be looking for as they're evaluating this opportunity?
Well, the ADA, you can contact the ADA if you're a member and they have a contract service that can help you at least read the contract. Because I think that happens to a lot of us. And, you know, I've done this too, where somebody hands me a contract and they say it's standard. This is a lease agreement. It's standard. Just sign it. It's not a big deal. But then when you have a lawyer look at it, it's not standard. There's all kinds of things in there that are not acceptable. But if you sign it, you're stuck. So absolutely have somebody read those contracts. And I know you need a job, but you don't want to just take anything because you could end further in debt. And that's, you don't want that.
So, Allison, I know you love solving difficult problems. With the debt being so large, like this seems like a massive deterrent for other, you know, our bright future to get into dentistry. You know, when they're hearing these stories, how do we start kind of instituting something that might be able to, I don't know, just bring resolve? Like, how do we lower the cost of dental school? Like, is that something that people at the ADA are trying to figure out how to solve?
So one of the weird things that the people think the ADA can do things that they can't do. I think it was back in the 80s when people decided that the ADA should not have any control over education or any control over dental insurance. So those were taken out of the ADA's jurisdiction and they don't have control over how much dental school costs. There's a thing called CODA. And really, they're running how much, well, not how much it costs, but they're running the accreditation for dentistry. So no, I would say the ADA doesn't have any control over how much things cost. The government, however, could have some control over this because medical school is also very expensive. I mean, we know college is expensive in general. If you're going to limit how much people make, then you could pay for school. There's other options.
Yeah, like... I don't know. I just feel like it's something where we want the best for the next generation. And at the same exact time, we want qualified educators. And that's where it's like, if you cut on one end, maybe you sacrifice not getting the best educators because they're not getting what they need. But at the same exact time.
Well, it's this whole strange circle. If you think about it, the public feels like dentistry is very, very expensive. So they don't want to pay for it. So then insurance companies reimburse at a lower rate. My haircuts are more expensive than a filling, which doesn't make sense to me. So they've reduced our fees to a point where dentists can't really manage the overhead, so business people have come in to manage it. And now they're not letting them do fillings, they're only doing crowns. So I mean, it just keeps spinning into, and then the dentist is stuck because they owe all this money from education. So it's this weird circle. I don't know where in the circle you can start solving the problem. I mean, obviously it's something we keep talking about, but where can you make some inroads to stop the cycle from continuing? Because it just continues to spiral. Yeah. Our young dentists, they have a hard road.
Thank you for listening to the Authentic Dentist Podcast. To join Allison and Sean on this journey, hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode. Here's to your success. Express yourself fully. Live authentic.